Is Conor McGregor the man to bring Ireland onto a Bitcoin standard? I don't really know. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened in Bitcoin, right? Like, you often get wild news.
I have a feeling there are a lot of people who are trading. They got nervous when we dropped to 78K or whatever. And like, they just haven't taken the time to understand what they're holding.
What about these blackouts that happened? What about this cash restriction in Spain? What about the unrealized taxes in Australia? All this bullshit are, you know, previews of what these people are concocting in order to try to remain relevant. So, and it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Rick and Tony with me. Gents, let's jump right into the news. Up first, the great Conor McGregor is calling for Ireland to create a Bitcoin strategic reserve. He said an Irish Bitcoin strategic reserve will give power to the people's money. From what I've seen, he's in touch now with Max and Nayib Bukele, and they want him to fly down there and chat with them. And he also reached out to Saylor and heard that he's the champ and wants to get together and learn more. So perhaps bullish for Ireland. Rick, you got to take this one first, man. What do you think?
I honestly don't really know what to say. Like, is Conor McGregor the man to bring Ireland onto a Bitcoin standard? I don't really know. I mean, you know, stranger things have happened in Bitcoin, right? Like, you often get wild news. But yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I don't get that excited about it, right? Like, I don't think Conor McGregor has any real political power in Ireland. I don't think he can actually affect change in a fast way. But, you know, it's the typical news cycle, right? Like, another strategic reserve and everyone gets excited. And hey, listen, I got nothing against Conor McGregor, right? He's a great fighter, thoroughly entertaining human being, right? He gets up to some pretty funny stuff. But he's also like a little bit crazy. So, listen, I'm just enjoying the entertainment, right? If he flies down and has a meeting with Nayib Bukele, I'm going to watch it, right? Because that's kind of hilarious to me that Conor McGregor is sitting in a room chatting with the president. But, you know, the other thing I'd say is I think probably people outside of Ireland maybe give more credibility to Conor McGregor than people who are from Ireland, right? He's not as popular as maybe people outside of Ireland would expect. I don't think he's like necessarily representative of everybody in Ireland. So yeah, kind of entertaining. Ireland could definitely do with adopting Bitcoin, but you know, as always, we say it every time, I will never be able to understand why people expend so much energy trying to convince their government to buy Bitcoin. I really don't understand it. You know, the government are the same people that locked us in our houses for 2 years. They're the same people who run around locking us up for dodgy tweets and for wrong think. As far as I'm concerned, I hope the government ends up with zero Bitcoin. You know, where I'm saying, let them starve. I'm interested in the Irish people, right? The people who live in Ireland, I'd love for them to go and stack a whole load of Bitcoin for themselves and free themselves and become successful and wealthy and all these great things. But as for the Irish government, the UK government, the US government, screw them all. Let them starve. Like, I don't know why everyone gets so excited about them stacking Bitcoin, because they're not going to share it with you. Like, if you've interacted with these people at any point, you have to realize they're not going to give you any of the Bitcoin. So them printing money to buy Bitcoin is only going to put you in a worse position. So look, maybe I'm a grouch and I've been around too long, right? But I'm not going to celebrate having to compete with a money printer to buy more BTC.
So do I understand correctly, McGregor's running for president or prime minister? What do you have in Ireland?
I think they're just going to, instead of an election this year, they're just going to sort it out in the octagon. So there's a good likelihood, yeah, he might become president.
Looking promising for Mr. McGregor. Tony, what's your take here?
Yeah, man, I agree with Rick. I don't understand why people get all excited over governments buying Bitcoin. It's usually from the number go up dorks, you know, that are just hoping to see their bags get pumped in the most worthless fiat paper that's ever created. So these guys are not in for the economic freedom behind Bitcoin. They understand absolutely nothing. For them, it's like a get-rich-quick scheme. They just want to be rich no matter what it costs, you know? So whatever the cost is, just make me rich. I'm going to buy my toys and I'll be happily ever after. Bitcoin was created for the separation of money and state, right? So, you know, it's the government's adopting it. Obviously, you can't avoid it. It's for everyone. But it will definitely bring the number go up. But that's not why it was created. Now, as far as Connor is concerned, well, you know, he is a man of the people, for the people. He's definitely, you know, a great personality. I mean, I enjoy watching some of his games. He's definitely, you know, up there, you know, in his skill. Unfortunately, from what I've read, he doesn't seem to be too popular in Ireland, which surprised me, you know. So I don't know how much sway he has, but I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if he's, you know, walking in different circles now, like the Max Kaisers, you know, and these guys. Well, it doesn't matter what the people think of him, as long as it's good for Bitcoin, right? But like Rick mentioned, I mean, these guys will get rich and they won't give 2 cents about, you know, the people themselves. So if you're getting excited over them buying and you don't have your own strategic reserve, well, you know, you're a fool, because you're cheering on your own demise, basically, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And so no such thing as bad advertising for Bitcoin, as long as you have your own Bitcoin strategic reserve in full self-custody. Beyond that, if you're cheering for Bitcoin and you have like nothing, well, you know, there's a place for people like that. It's called the circus.
At least no one's going to come after Connor with a $5 wrench, right? They probably know better.
That would be an interesting story if somebody had tried that.
He will be the custodian of the Irish Strategic Reserve.
Yeah. Every other country has got a hardware wallet. Ireland's just got Conor McGregor. Like, if you can get the seed, you can have it.
That's the spirit. Well, yeah, I think anyone who's listened to Banter more than once probably knows how I feel about strategic reserves. So we'll move on here. Okay, up next we've got two tweets related to Augustin Carsons of the BIS. So let's watch this video real quick.
Crypto assets and cryptocurrencies were in a way put as an alternative to fiat money. I think that battle has been won. Technology doesn't make for trusted money. Only the legal historical infrastructure behind central banks give credibility. So it has now become an alternative a financial activity that could exist under certain conditions.
Alrighty, so Augustin, this was back in the day, doesn't think that Bitcoin is going to do anything. And now the BIS is coming out and they're saying that Bitcoin is a potential hedge against currency weakness. So they're saying the quiet part out loud. No kidding. I think there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of us who have been saying this for quite some time, and it seems like our overlords are catching up and beginning to understand. Wouldn't trust this guy with almost anything, but I'm curious why you think he's saying this. Like, that's such an interesting counterproductive thing to say. It's on the surface, it seems. Tony, why does it look like capitulation? And I'd be curious to hear if you think it actually is.
First of all, I can never take this guy seriously. You know, like I told you, he reminds me of this big balloon that's just waiting for a pin, you know, just a popping. You know, so whatever he says, you know, it always makes me laugh so much that I can't understand half the things he's spewing out. But basically, these guys are desperate, right? Like, they realize that no matter how much they tried to kill the narrative behind sound money, they have failed, you know, time and time again. And now they have no choice but to admit the obvious, that, you know, Bitcoin is, you know, causing currency weaknesses. And so their days of reign and terror is coming to an end. The days of theft and corruption are going to end, whether these people like it or not, because they can come out with regulations and laws and restrictions all they want. Peer-to-peer technology, it's like the wind blowing, you know? You know, no force in the universe is going to stop this. The genie is out. There's nothing that's going to reverse this movement and this idea, exactly whose time has come. So these guys are going to say this. It's political, right? Like, what do you expect them to say? Oh, shucks, we lost. Okay, we're going to go home now and have like a pizza and like celebrate. Of course, they're going to keep saying this, hoping that enough people still believe them and, you know, stay stuck in that corrupt system. But like I said, that narrative is dying a very painful death, and it's only a matter of time before the, you know, the dam just bursts, and it's hyperinflation. You know, currencies will, you know, escalate down to zero, and that'll be that. Won't be pretty, but you know, it's just math.
So, Rick, how much Bitcoin do you think Augustin has?
Well, to be honest, I would imagine he's got quite a lot, right? I mean, in some ways, actually, Tony, I got to disagree with you on some points. You said, you know, he's unlikely to want to go home and have a pizza. I actually think he might quite enjoy going home and having another pizza.
Two or three.
Very likely, yeah. Look, this guy's an interesting guy, right? Because he heads up the Bank of International Settlements, which is like the central bank of central banks. But what is interesting is how he's sort of changed his tune over the years. Because that, I think that video you showed was maybe like 2023, 2022, something like that, where he's basically trying to make the point that technology cannot create trusted currency. But then, you know, I've also seen videos of this guy saying that, you know, CBDCs are going to be very successful because, you know, it's going to give him oversight into every single transaction you make and stop anti-money laundering and stuff. So it's like, hang on a minute, there's, you know, the amount of ways these guys contradict themselves is getting a bit ridiculous now, because on one hand he's saying technology can't be trusted money, but our technology can be trusted money. And then he talks about, you know, on its belt built on the credibility of central banking. Where's the credibility in central banking? All they've done is inflated the money supply to a ridiculous degree, and apparently managed to inflate themselves on the way, right? This guy is literally inflation personified. Like Tony says, he looks like he's going to pop. So, it's quite funny to see the change of tune. I think they know that they're cooked here slightly. What their next move is, though, I'm really not sure. I think they want to continue to push people into custody solutions because they know that Bitcoin is not going anywhere. So they need to now get their hands on as much of it as possible. So as long as it's not in private hands and it's in custody solutions, they know that they'll be able to get their sticky hands on it eventually, right? It's just a matter of time. So, you know, again, this is why it's so important to self-custody. Like, the when these people are interested in Bitcoin, that shouldn't excite you, that should terrify you, because they want it and they are professional thieves. They've been doing this for a long time. They are very, very skillful at taking your money off you. So yeah, you know, let's not celebrate the fact that they're interested in Bitcoin. Let's use it to sort of give us a wake-up call, wise up, and get our Bitcoin well out of their reach.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if they're seeing something or anticipating something that is really, really, really bad for them. That for them to, like, sort of a CYA, like, hey, I want to make sure that I, you know, everything doesn't blow up and it's our fault. Like, we need to have some, like, life raft out there that we've thrown. Obviously, I agree with you, Rick. I think the more likely scenario is they want people doing exactly what, honestly, most people are doing right now. They're going into the ETFs, they're... Because, you know, the custodians are centralizing and, you know, relatively few people are in 100% self-custody.
Well, you're also seeing previews of what's happening in Europe, if you want to know what their next moves are. You know, what about these blackouts that happened? What about this cash restriction in Spain? What about the unrealized taxes in Australia? All this bullshit are, you know, previews of what these people are concocting in order to try to remain relevant. So, and it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better, because the more they lose, the more desperate they get, you know, the worse your life becomes if you're still dependent on these crooks for, you know, to live for your money. And so again, all roads lead to Bitcoin. If you don't want to deal with this nightmare, you have to leave. And to leave, you have to learn a few new steps and then you're out. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. But for some inexplicable reason, people seem addicted to the pain more than taking a little time to, you know, familiarize themselves with a, you know, series of new steps to protect their own economic freedom. It's like mind-boggling.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, speaking of missteps, $66 billion Dell officially rejects shareholder proposal to add Bitcoin to their treasury. And this is an interesting one because Michael Dell was sort of the Bitcoin darling for a little while. He talked a lot about Bitcoin, tweeted about it. And I did a quick search. It looks to me like he owns almost 50% of the company still. And you would think someone who was speaking highly of Bitcoin would maybe understand it well enough to say this is something we need to do or have some sort of sway over the shareholder vote. But I don't know how that works exactly. I remember with, who was it, McDonald's or someone was looking at a strategic reserve, and then they, I think it was like, I don't know, 0.01% of people voted in favor of it. So maybe if you need 50%, you know, 51% or something, even he couldn't, you know, even if he voted yes with all of his shares, he couldn't get it across the finish line because no one else cared. So I don't know what the exact vote looked like, but I have a feeling I know what you guys think about this. Tony, why don't you take it first?
No, I'm happy it didn't go through, you know. Again, like, I'm not for governments or institutions, you know, vacuuming the Bitcoin supply. I'm hoping, you know, their silly decisions give time to more people to accumulate whatever amounts they can to protect themselves. But that window of time is closing. You know, it's not going to be there forever. I suspect that 2025 will probably be the last year where regular folks, you know, unless you're sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars, you're not going to be buying anything because, you know, the remaining supply will be, you know, bought up, and those that are buying it are not buying it to trade it. And so that's when you'll wake up one day to some ridiculous number on the screen and then wonder what happened. And that's also when, likely when the general population were like, oh my gosh, you know, I need to get some of this, right? Without understanding anything, of course, but they'll FOMO into it. And, you know, that's when you start seeing, you know, the 4th of July in the Bitcoin space when people like panic, which is the worst, you know, position to be in when it comes to making rational decisions. But for me, it's good news, you know. If Michael Dell, not Michael Dell, but Dell doesn't want Bitcoin, good. You know, it's more power to the people. But, you know, wake up.
I agree. Rick, what do you think, man?
Yeah, not much to add. I think, you know, Tony and I probably look like right stuck in the muds, right? Because everyone on Twitter, anytime anyone announces someone's buying Bitcoin, everyone's like celebrating. But I'm with Tony. You know, I'm here for the little guy more than anything else. I you know, I'll always root for the underdog. So I get way more excited when I hear about someone buying their first $50 worth of Bitcoin or downloading their first wallet or sending their first transaction. Like, that gets me really excited because I think, oh man, you know, they're right at the start of this journey of maybe, you know, escaping the fiat system and saving themselves. That excites me. Some corporation voting on whether they want to buy it or not. Yeah, I'm with Tony. I like it when they say no, because I don't want to compete with these people. I'm still trying to grow my stack, right? And I know a lot of other people are as well. So the less competition, the better. The only thing that's interesting really is that, you know, this Carstens guy that we talked about from the International Bank of Settlements, right? He's come and completely changed his tune. And then in the same week, Michael Dell, who was really quite bullish about Bitcoin, you know, his company seems to have gone in the other direction. And maybe Conor McGregor's the president of Ireland. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the hell's going on. And anyone who tells you they do is lying. So, yeah, again, just watching entertainment. Try not to worry about things that are outside of my control, right? And I would give that advice to anyone getting involved in Bitcoin is just focus on what you can control, like hopefully a set of private keys, hopefully your own node, you know, become self-sovereign. You can't control what these other people are going to do. So yeah, focus on yourself. That's what Bitcoin is really kind of all about.
Yeah. Maybe Michael Dell's wife said no.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time we've seen that, would it? All righty. So speaking of this topic, so this is a report that River put out, Bitcoin News reported on. So the change in Bitcoin ownership in 2025. So this is what I think a lot of people miss, is that businesses, ETFs, I don't know what other would tend to include change in Bitcoin, mine, BTC held in smart contracts, an estimated Bitcoin lost, and then you've got governments buying Bitcoin. You see that the individuals are the ones selling Bitcoin. And I think this is what gets missed, is when someone's excited because, you know, Strategy or a government or whoever is buying Bitcoin, what they forget is that someone is on the selling end of that. Like, it's not, they're not just buying exclusively mined Bitcoin and that's all. They're buying way more than what the miners are producing in a day. And to me, this is really the big concern. I want power to the people. And I think where Conor McGregor is probably wrong is that you're not giving power to the people by the Irish government buying Bitcoin. You're extracting value from them voluntarily because they're opting to sell their Bitcoin. But it's a huge mistake, and I think many people just don't understand what they hold when they hold Bitcoin. So would love to hear your thoughts on this. Rick, why don't you take it first? But to me, this is concerning.
Yeah, it's not a trend I'm a fan of. I think it's driven, you know, a lot. The last couple of years for me has really been defined by a set of new narratives coming into Bitcoin. You know, you see a lot of different custody solutions popping up where you have to completely give away your privacy and give someone else access to your Bitcoin. You see more and more yield products again being offered, right? Give us your Bitcoin, we'll pay you some yield. And now Bitcoin-backed loans are coming along, right? Let us hold your Bitcoin and we'll give you a fiat loan or whatever. The common theme between all of these things is let us hold your Bitcoin, right? Or sell it to us. Basically, we want to hold it. And a lot of people are getting sucked into that. I mean, of course, they're going to compete with Michael Saylor, who's buying up just obscene amounts. But I think there is a trend. People have kind of lost this idea that Bitcoin is peer-to-peer cash, that you're meant to be your own bank. You know, I remember a few years ago, you could barely move on Twitter without coming across a tweet that said, Bitcoin is about being your own bank, but you don't actually hear it that much anymore, especially from the more prominent sort of talking heads out there. So maybe we've lost a little bit of that ethos. But look, you know, I don't think it is all doom and gloom. I don't have it to hand at the moment, but I've seen a chart fairly recently that showed the distribution of Bitcoin and who holds most of it. And I think the vast majority still is held in private hands, which, you know, gives me a bit of hope. I think Bitcoin really benefited from that first 10 years of everyone calling it a joke and a scam. I actually think that was the media have really done us a favor there because it gave us enough time for just normal people to go out and accumulate a position where I think I'm right in saying, someone will, I'm sure, correct me in the comments, but I think more than 50% of the circulating supply is in private hands. So let's just hope that these big corporations and governments don't trick enough people to take really big bites out of that. But yeah, I'm with you, Michael, right? You know, it's a concern to see private ownership going down while corporate and government ownership going up. I would like to see that going in the other direction, but I think we've reached a point where that trend is going to continue because they've got all the money, right? So we just can't compete with them. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, I think they have all the money. I think maybe more importantly is they have all the understanding, or the majority of the understanding of what's really going on, because this is where, you know, and Tony, I know you get frustrated and you end up calling a lot of people donkeys because of it, but people don't understand what's going on. Like, they don't understand that their wealth is being stripped from them. And if they did and they took 10 hours to study Bitcoin, I think people would be putting in $20 a week or what, you know, whatever little bit they had. And they wouldn't be selling except for desperate times. I would imagine there are a lot of Bitcoin OGs who have, you know, hundreds, thousands of coins, and they want to cash out and enjoy, you know, their life before we're on a Bitcoin standard, which I completely understand and sympathize with, right? I have a feeling there are a lot of people who are trading. They got nervous when we dropped to 78K or whatever, and like, they just haven't taken the time to understand what they're holding. It's their first cycle. That's a little harder for me to sympathize with because this is my first bull run, like, you know, or if you want to call it a bull run at this point, but like, I'm still relatively new here, and it's just, I've taken the time to study it enough that I'm not going to be one of those people selling to governments. Like, I have no interest in that. You know, I think we just need to collectively lower our time preference and continue to push for education so people really do know what they hold when they have Bitcoin, and that they do it the right way, to your point about self-custody. Tony?
Yeah, man, it's very disappointing and frustrating to see, but, you know, human nature is what it is. And, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, when people are still living comfortably, like in privileged, you know, societies, there's no pressing need to change your habits, right? Like, the path of least resistance is what most will default to. And that's the problem. And governments and institutions know this, and they abuse and take advantage of this ignorance and fear in order to dupe these suckers you know, into giving up what they initially held in their own hands as the most, you know, pristine, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity asset. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this trend is going to continue, unfortunately. That's how these corporations and governments are going to increase their holdings, by having, you know, these people continuously selling to them. When it stops, I'm not really sure. I suspect, you know, like, I mean, at some point it has to stop, because, I mean, even if you were one of these OGs with like tens of thousands of Bitcoin, like how much you need to sell really to fund your fancy lifestyle, at some point it's going to, at least in my view, it's going to seem ridiculous to keep selling it just to keep adding more worthless zeros to your screen, right? And then again, you don't know how things are going to change. I mean, all of this news, this bullish news, people owning Bitcoin, it's limited to a very small number of the world population. I mean, all this Bitcoin is 21 million or 17 million if you take out the lost ones. How many people, physical human beings, actually own this amount? It's like a handful when you look at the global scale. So these people that are holding it properly are going to be like tremendous winners in this game, whereas the rest of the population, at least if it continues on this trend, they're just going to continue living their slave lives just using Bitcoin rather than dollars, euros, or something, because all of their connections are still going to be with custodians, at least for the foreseeable future, until something bad happens, which changes their mind. But, you know, define extreme scenario. Everybody has their definition. In my case, it couldn't get worse than this. I was flatlined. Now, maybe somebody else puts up with this, because again, like if I reference back to Lebanon, I thought everybody would be, you know, following my footsteps. We're like, you know, a handful of people, which is like mind-blowing when you think about it. So are people going to change? Then again, you know, success was never really meant for everyone, but it doesn't really matter. You need to focus on you. There's enough people out there that are putting in the work, and you lead by example. You live the life that you want for yourself, and at some point, you're going to attract more attention. It's going to take a while, but you don't need to wait for the rest of the world to catch up to you. You do you, and you'll see. People will flock, you know, on their own. People are not blind. They may be dumb, but they're not blind. And everybody wants, you know, where the grass is greener.
Well said. So we've got one more for you. Coinbase has been added to the S&P 500. Michael Saylor congratulated Brian Armstrong. I think this is probably the first. Well, I don't know. Do you know? I wonder if any other casino operators are in the S&P. MGM Resorts or Las Vegas Sands or any of them. To me, this is unexciting. These guys should be, if Coinbase was well run, they would be one of the 10 largest corporations in the world. If they'd adopted a Bitcoin strategy early on, if they cut the nonsense, I know they make a ton of money on trading fees and scamming people and all that stuff. But to me, this is like, it took you till 2025. Like you guys were on the frontier, you know, of this, what, you know, 8-10 years ago, however long it's been. Rick, I know you're a big Brian Armstrong fan, though, so I'll take it easy on him. What do you think about them being added to the S&P?
Yeah, I mean, he's totally dropped the ball, hasn't he? You know, the only thing I would remind people is that Coinbase has dropped, I think, 45% in value over the last 5 years. So that's quite remarkable that a company could be that well positioned and perform so badly. Again, it's just another Bitcoin proxy stock that I think people should avoid. He runs a shitcoin casino. There's every chance that something crazy goes down at Coinbase. Every time I've seen a shitcoin casino, eventually something disastrous happens. So yeah, I wouldn't be touching it with a barge pole. I mean, why would you buy this when Bitcoin exists? It makes no sense. But people dive in on the news and, you know, good luck to them. But I think they might be making the wrong choice.
But more importantly, why would you custody your Bitcoin with them? Get your coins off of Coinbase. And if you have coins that aren't Bitcoin on Coinbase, sell them for Bitcoin and then get them off of Coinbase. Tony.
Yeah, man, not financial advice, but don't waste your time on shitcoiners or shitcoins. You know, just focus on the real deal. Save yourself the agony, the anxiety, and the stress. Build your own strategic reserve, learn how to manage it and protect it, and live happily ever after.
I think that's well said. Good place to round it off for today. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Do us a huge favor. If you're enjoying Bitcoin Banter, which I know you are, we're amazing. Do us a favor, give us a like, subscribe, share it with someone, comment, do something to feed the algorithm. And if you have your coins on Coinbase or you're more worried about Ireland's strategic reserve than your own, do yourself a favor. Take full 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We can train you to do it the right way the first time. We also help with online privacy. We can help you set up a privacy phone, Plan B residency options, everything you need for a self-sovereign lifestyle. You need to make the change and be the change that you wish to see in the world. And again, it's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Gents, as always, it's a treat getting together with you. Love these conversations and look forward to catching up later in the week.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, guys.